My name is Lawrence Allen.
I'm Ronald Shaw.
I'm Rahul Vora.
And this is Bad Time Radio. Welcome to another episode of Bad Time Radio. This week, it was Ronald's turn to pick, and he selected the 2005, I want to say, film Poseidon, which is a remake of the 70s disaster movie, The Poseidon Adventure, that I had legitimately forgot existed until Ronald said we should watch it. So, Ronald, what drew you to this film?
Yeah, that is a good question because, well, we'll get into what I thought about the movie, but I saw a clip from it on YouTube, and I thought, wow, because I love disaster movies, and I thought, wow, this looks like incredible. I kind of want to check this out, and I looked at the reviews and saw that they're really bad, and I was like, this sounds amazing. It's like a terrible movie with sweet disaster effects. It sounded like a perfect prescription for what we want, what we like to watch on this show, so that's why I picked it.
You know what? Solid reason.
Yeah, anyways. It was good reasoning, but it ended up not being the best show for this.
Yeah, let's transition into like what we all thought of this. Ronald, would you like to go first as sort of the man of the hour?
Sure, I'll keep mine kind of short and sweet. I thought that the effects were really cool, but this was a very boring and forgettable movie, and I totally understand why I hadn't really heard anything about it, because I don't think that really anyone thought about this movie after they left the theater. There was definitely a couple of really cool scenes, but that's all you really need to watch. I give this movie a pass. Don't watch it.
Like, I legit think if you walked up to Kurt Russell and started asking him about this, he would have forgotten that it existed. And he is the star.
I think that might be true. I
bet Richard Dreyfuss remembers, but definitely, or not, probably not Kurt Russell. Anyways, I'll go next. I was having a pretty great time with this for the first 30 minutes or so, when it's just like people dying horribly over and over and over and over. But once it stops doing that, it kind of just repeats a variation on the same action sequence for about an hour, and it got pretty fucking boring. So I don't know. I would say if you could find a YouTube clip of the boat flipping over and maybe Andre Brower's death scene, those are worth watching. But the rest, you're probably fine. Rahul?
You know, there are parts I really enjoyed. I thought the whole thing was well done, first off. But it sort of lacked, it didn't hook me. I don't know why. I have reasons I think made it boring, but yeah, I'm in the same boat as the both of you.
Hilarious. I hope the boat doesn't capsize.
And explode.
Rogue wave!
That also, one of the most explosive boats I've ever seen. Kind of curious.
Yep.
Well, I feel like if you flip a boat over with that kind of force, there might be a lot of explosions like that.
But it kind of keeps exploding far after I would have thought it would have stopped.
Yeah, I'm not have a lot of stuff, but I feel like it would just... I don't know. I have no idea.
At a certain point, everything's underwater, and I wouldn't think it could explode. Like, fire explosions.
I would think that... Yeah, well, we can get into it later.
Yeah. Anyways, let's go ahead and roll for the summary. So I'll be 1-2, Ronald can be 3-4, and Rahul can be 5-6. Cool?
Sounds good.
Okay. Got it all set up. Clicking. Ah, shit, it's me. Okay. Right. Ronald set me up a minute 30 and give me a countdown.
Minute 30. You really think you're going to need that long for this?
I don't know. Let's see.
All right. Okay, timer. Oops. Stopwatch. Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
So we open in a casino, and there's this awesome guy named Lucky Larry, and he's like getting into kind of a mess with Bradley Cooper and Kurt Russell. Bradley Cooper is playing apparently a professional card sharp, and Kurt Russell is a rich ex-mayor. But anyway, so Lucky Larry is like staring these people down at the poker table. A waitress comes by, Lucky Larry slaps her ass, and then he bows out because the stakes have gotten too high. Then a bunch of scenes happen that do not matter, but the point is Lucky Larry ends up in a disco, and hey, it's New Year's Eve on this cruise ship, everything's great, and all of a sudden, wouldn't you know it, the cruise ship gets hit by a rogue wave and flips over. Everyone pretty much, or like 3/4 of the cruise ship dies, but fortunately for us, Lucky Larry does not. So then some other shit happens that I didn't really care about, but Lucky Larry is awoken by a stowaway and Emmy Rossum. and Emmy Rossum's kind of cool boyfriend is stuck under a like a pole, and they need Lucky Larry to help her help them pry it off. Lucky Larry makes a couple of leering comments about them because they're both very hot women, but then does actually show them how to use a simple lever to pull the wreckage off her boyfriend. And then they just kind of hang out in the disco for a while until Bradley Cooper and Kurt Russell show up, and they're like trying to like help them escape the ship. I forget what happens, but they end up in the scenario where they have to get across like a big atrium, and some people are on one side and some people are on the other. And Lucky, there's this sort of hanging thing, and everyone's like, don't go on it, Lucky Larry. But Lucky Larry just roasts them all horribly. He makes fun of Kurt Russell for being a mayor and being an ex-mayor and divorced. Just let me finish up real quick. And then he gets off on this kind of, they're like, hey, don't go across on this thing. But Lucky Larry's like, no, I'm Lucky Larry. And he kind of gets up across the thing, and then somehow an engine falls and kills Lucky Larry for his hubris. And that's basically the end of the part of the movie that I cared about.
I want to finish.
Because okay. The main characters died.
I want to finish.
Lucky Larry was not a main character.
He was the only one I gave a shit about.
Why do you give a shit about Lucky Larry?
Because he ruled.
I'm putting 45 seconds on the clock for you.
All right.
You ready?
Yep.
This is a mutiny, and I don't stand for it.
After Lucky Larry's untimely demise, the party's trapped in the upside down boat, and they find they keep trying to get their way out using various pathways or various hijinks. Eventually, Kurt Russell sacrifices himself and the rest of them basically get out. And that's the end of the movie.
Oh, except, I mean, the rest of them, you mean like the five characters we care about, literally everyone else on the boat dies horribly.
Yeah, literally everyone else dies.
And also the stowaway doesn't make it. Including Fergie,
who I think is playing herself.
She's playing herself like when her career's on a little bit of a downturn, so she has to do a cruise ship. But on the other hand,
expensive fucking cruise. I mean, because Kurt Russell lost $20,000 like immediately. So that kind of cruise, I imagine, would pay good money for
maybe, but that's still not really where you want to be on, unless it's the Fergie themed cruise and everyone is there specifically to hang out in Fergie. It's never a good sign when you're.
I don't know, dude. Unlimited drinks, maybe. Maybe it's worth it.
She did get to kiss Andre Brower, which is my dream, at least.
What? They didn't kiss?
Yeah, they did, right at the end. Right before they all died.
They're just embracing.
I thought they kissed. Well, why okay, they, then.
They were just embracing because they knew they were going to die.
She probably copped a feel, bro.
Oh, for sure. But, I mean, that was off camera.
Yeah. I mean,
either way. She got to feel that smooth, smooth shaft.
Dry shaft.
I thought you were going to say that smooth, smooth head because he is Jake Paul.
That as well.
Anyways,
so I ended mine abruptly because I felt like the movie ended abruptly.
Yeah, they get out of the boat and then the helicopters come.
Yeah, I really thought that there was going to be a scene after the movie or after the events of the boat where they're going to show like what happened to them all. But they just skipped that part. I guess who gives a shit? Okay. There's no more explosions.
It started abruptly and it ended abruptly.
Yeah. There is literally... Okay, yeah. Anyways, well, let's get into high points and low points.
Yeah. So I'll start. I thought Kurt Russell, like, I like a movie where the villain, like, redeems himself at the end. And the thing at the start where he establishes himself as one of the worst characters in movie history because he asks Emmy Rossum to button up her shirt. And, I mean, there's nothing you could do to make the audience hate you more than that. But then at the end, he valiantly sacrifices himself to save them all. And I thought I liked that.
Yeah, I felt like it was, like, very obviously planted from the beginning. And... it was a nice moment. Kurt Russell's character was really weird because he was just so unlikable at the start, but I couldn't tell if the movie really knew that.
Yeah, like, he's super involved in his 20-something's daughter's sex life and how she dresses, which is very strange, but not it being as strange in 2006.
Yeah, and like it felt like they were trying to like both sides a little bit, and it's like, no, that's just fucking weird. It's not even like it's a little off. Like, that's fucking strange. And I would think that that guy has a serious problem.
And I mean, okay, if they were full on fucking in like the same like hotel suite where he was and he could like hear them or something. Okay, that's a little bit uncomfortable. Although I think even then you got to suck it up. But complaining about how your 20-something daughter's dressing is nuts.
Yeah, super weird. Also, I could, like, I think I had the same reaction as you, Lawrence, when I started. I was like, I think she's supposed to be like in high school and the movie doesn't know how to cast young women and just cast it like a mid 20s. But from the events of the movie, it becomes very clear that she is in her 20s.
Yeah, her boyfriend's proposing to her. She's talking about how she remembers him being mayor. I think there's a couple of other cracks about like her job or something like that.
Yeah, so it's like, no, she's not in high school.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were doing with that plot. Like, I don't know what the point of that was.
Like, even if she was in high school, it'd still be weird.
Like, the whole clothing thing would still be super weird. But I could kind of understand being like, dude, you can't, like, sleep with your boyfriend in the same room as I am. I'm your dad. It's still fucking kind of weird, but I could kind of get it at least. But, like, because it's a lot more uncomfortable in that kind of scenario. Like, you still kind of view her as a kid and...
Even then, it would be just like, hey, you know, I know you're fucking. It's fine that you're fucking. It's awkward for me when I have to really think about that fact. So let's have a little decorum just out of, not because you're doing anything wrong, but out of sensitivity to me, you know?
So weird to put it in the movie. Yeah, very weird. Let's be real. Like, that's your character's defining trait. Like, he's supposed to be this heroic fireman and also ex-mayor of New York. But the thing he's most obsessed with is his fucking daughter dressing like a Puritan. I don't know, man. It just was super
so
weird.
So here's the thing, dear listener, about Lawrence and Ronald. See, I was a cool kid in high school, and this happened to me all the time.
Your parents were constantly telling you to button up your shirt so they couldn't see your tits?
No, you idiot!
You were their boyfriend?
Your parents were constantly telling you not to fuck in their bedroom?
Yeah, they were like, man, that Rahul kid, he's super hot. Like,
your parents said that, or your significant other, your girlfriend's parents said
that? I don't even know. Whatever. They started prodding my ego. Pretty much
everyone said that.
Yeah. What are we talking about?
All right, yeah. Great. Fantastic. Give me a high point. I'm tired of thinking. I don't like thinking about this.
Another high point. Okay. The special effects in this movie kick ass. There's like a lot, it seemed like there's a lot of CGI, but the CGI looks pretty good. And just, it seemed like they had really well thought out about the set and what a boat would look like if it flipped upside down. That is easily the coolest part of the whole movie, is like they're going through an upside down boat and you get to kind of get to see it. They show some of the different big rooms. At the beginning, and then you kind of get to see them in their like wasted upside down form. And that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Raul, you got a high point?
I sure do. There's a scene where they're crawling through the vents and it's pretty claustrophobic. I thought they did that. I thought that was filmed and done well. I thought that was a good scene. I give them 2 thumbs up for that scene.
See, I hated that scene because Elena was so annoying.
She was annoying, but you know.
But
like,
yeah, I get it. I get it.
It was a scene.
It was very realistic that someone would act that way in that situation, but it's still really irritating to watch in a movie, you know?
Yeah. The stakes were realistic, though. I agree with you.
Yeah, because, like, water's filling up the bottom. They have no way out. They got to crawl through this tiny little shaft. Yeah, it was just really well done.
Rahul loves tiny little shafts.
Yep. I can't explain why. Yeah. I'm just drawn to them.
I've got another high point. Yeah, which is that this movie has just like it is like we've dwelt like talked about this a little. It has an insane body count. You see a lot of people dying horribly, and then like every time they enter a new situation, there will be a lingering shot of some horribly mangled corpses.
And it's always flash fire.
Yeah. Flash fire!
The entire boat is made of flammable material.
But I mean, I think that's kind of true.
I have no idea. I'm making fun of it, but I don't actually know.
Because I think the boat is just like basically lined with a shit ton of fuel. So I would imagine, like, you know, things start cracking open. There's probably just fire everywhere.
But why wouldn't it just explode?
Because they also have stuff that, like, everything would be airtight, I guess, so it would consume the oxygen quickly.
Well, yeah, and
I kind of assume that the fuel wouldn't all spill out at the same spot. You know, like, there's, like, valves and shit in place where, like, if you crack it open, like, only a certain amount will spill. So it doesn't just instantly incinerate the ship when there's one leak. I mean, like I said, I'm not a ship engineer. I don't really know.
Maybe somebody, a ship arsonist, though.
Maybe somebody who like builds or designs ships can watch this movie and tell me how inaccurate it is and like the fuel would never get everywhere. But there's, just from what I understand about the amount of fuel on a boat, like it feels like there's so, so much. I would not be surprised if there was like fire everywhere if you know you flipped the boat upside down. I don't know.
Well, that leads into a low point I want to go into.
Sure. Okay.
So Dylan hints at his past about like served on a boat or whatever.
To clarify, like, Dylan is Bradley Cooper's character.
Josh Lucas. I don't know why you keep saying Bradley Cooper. They look kind of alike, but not really.
Yeah,
it's another one of the weird really Lawrence is. Gags where he just calls an actor a different name.
Where I just tell a weird minor lie.
But anyway, so they like, he like keeps, I thought he was like he was going to like rob the casino vault or something because he knew like all this ship stuff. But then it turned out he was like maybe in the Navy or something, and he was like being all cagey about it. That never went anywhere.
They ask him if he was in the Navy, and he says like, not exactly.
Yeah, like what? Like, what the fuck? I thought it was gonna matter. Like, I thought he was sabotaging the boat or something. It was totally irrelevant. Like,
and his earlier claim is that he is somehow a professional card sharp who hangs out on cruise ships, which does not seem like a viable career.
I have no idea.
Dude, honestly, I wonder if there's cut scenes about him. It's unusual for a character to have a shadowy backstory in a movie like this and have it not ever be explained.
Honestly, if they had made it so Josh Lucas was trying to rob the vault while trying to escape, that would have added some serious stakes to this movie that were really, really missing. That would have been a really cool plot point.
But yeah, I mean, then you're also kind of like, making Speed 2.
Well, except Speed 2 sucked.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay, you're only kind of making Speed 2 because that's like, this is like taking advantage in a disaster scenario. Like, he didn't cause the wave. I don't know.
Speed 2 if he was worse at planning.
Yeah. I think that there needed to be some secondary objectives in this movie. I think that's, I'm going to go into a low point here. I think that's what this movie was really missing. Like, the only thing that they were all driving towards was escaping. And it wasn't very clear exactly how they were going to escape. They said, like, oh, we're going to go up to this shaft or whatever. But you couldn't really get, as a viewer, a clear shot of what that meant. Like, they needed to have some, like, quick camera pan through all of the obstacles that they had to go through before they started so that we got a sense of, like, oh, shit, they are so fucked. Because from the beginning, it was like, I have no idea what it means to go up that far. Like, how far down are they? I don't know. Does that seem like a really long distance? I'm not sure. And there was no secondary objectives. Like, there wasn't like, we have to like, you know, disarm this nuclear bomb that's on board, or, you know, we have to save the president or something like that. Which I think adds some extra drama and like kind of ups the ante rather than just trying to escape.
And you know, coming from what you're saying about the secondary objective and some drama regarding like a president type character or something, I feel like it didn't have enough time developing like a reason to actually care about the characters. So dropping in a character like the president would have been a good move because you don't need to do that to the audience. You're like, okay.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, you just
instantly start rooting for him to die. It doesn't matter which president. You just hate them all, or of what country for that matter. No gods, no masters, flipped over boats.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like, it needed something. And, like, everything was well done as far as, like, trying to escape, but...
Yes.
But, like, that's so clear of an objective that it's, like, not... I mean, we've just been burned out by movies, but we're just, like... I know what that is, you know.
Well, it's so clear, but at the same time, like, it never felt like we knew, like, okay, they just need to get through this door, and then, like, they're out.
And
right,
it's weirder because they keep showing us maps and shit, and there's that enormous and very boring 2-minute-long tracking shot of the ship to try to show you how it's laid out, but it still doesn't really work.
Yeah, it just it doesn't really tell you how they're going to get there because the ship's upside down. And so you're kind of like, okay, we didn't really see, you know, what path they would have to take or anything. And I don't know. It just felt like it was like, okay, I guess they're just going to keep going until they find the exit. And then when they find the exit, they're like, okay, we just got to get out this hole now and then we're good. And thankfully, somehow, when they got out, there was just like a raft sitting there waiting for them.
Yeah, yep.
And it's like, okay.
There were a lot of things that had to be, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's just like, ridiculous. Okay, the movie set the stakes here, you know? It doesn't feel like they're natural.
Yeah, like the power was still on the whole time, pretty much.
Yeah. It would have been pretty cool if there'd been a scene where it was just in the dark and they were trying to feel their way out. And it like, you know, they did that whole like Kill Bill thing where suddenly it's dark.
That would have been pretty terrifying.
In the movie theater. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're actually in like a virus laboratory and then someone knocks into like a
You just always virus. Want things to be Resident Evil.
And they're like, oh shit. And they start turning into zombies and that's where it starts.
Dude, it would have been really cool if they walked into this room and then when they got in there, it's just this giant white expanse and Wesker's standing on the other side and he throws his sunglasses.
And he's not affected by the upside downness.
And then they keep like shooting at him, but it keeps like not working for various reasons until they get very close to him.
Yeah, man, that would have been really cool.
And then he comes back later, but he's played by a different actor. But I mean, he was just a generic white guy in any case, so it didn't matter.
He's about to eat like a main character, but he takes so long opening his mouth that she has time to load her shotgun and run away.
And then he becomes the president, and then he has to escape from the flipped over boat. And there's stakes because we care about him because he's the president.
Oh shit.
I maintain that Wesker becomes the president briefly at the end of Resident Evil 6.
I believe you. I just don't remember that movie.
Yeah. Anyways, I've got a low point. And this is a minor one, but for some reason it really made me annoying. So there's that scene where they're stuck in the duct that Rahul is talking about. And the solution for it is that Connor, who is the most annoying little shit I have ever seen in a movie, it's not his fault. I'm sure that the child actor playing him is fine. It's just a bad role. Has to reach up through the grate and try to unscrew these screws. And they are they're very clearly hex bolts. But for some reason, he somehow still unscrews them by like sticking a like cross in and like rotating it, which one, they pop out like they're spring loaded. So whoever screwed them in was really phoning it in. But two, and much more importantly, that is not how hex bolts work. The whole point is that the shape is the screw thing you hold onto. You don't need the individual groove. So there you go. I was angry at
what if it was perfectly shaped, like the cross was perfectly shaped to fit into the diagonal of the hex, though?
But I don't think hex bolts have a diagonal usually. You just put a thing around them, you know? Like, that's the whole
point. I thought it was an Allen key.
I don't think they're an Allen key. These are very clearly hex bolts, but for some reason they also have a groove on top.
Don't they show the cross unscrewing it?
Yeah, but it shouldn't work. That's not what a hex bolt is.
Well, it clearly worked because they showed it.
But I had the same thought when I saw that. I was like, I don't think a screwdriver is going to work on this. You need like a freaking socket.
Very clear that they started with the scenario and then worked their way backward, but they couldn't line up the props. And also, you wouldn't use that kind of screw for that anyways, because
they needed verticality because they showed it from the side. So they had to show a side because if it was a screw, you wouldn't be able to see it from the side. That's my theory on why they did it that way.
Do you remember what minute mark that was?
Let's go submit it as a flub to the IMDb trivia.
I'm gonna fucking find it.
Let's go get into an argument with those guys about whether it's a goof or something incorrectly regarded as a goof.
Okay, I have another low point that's a little less like cinema sins. So there's a part where they're crossing this elevator shaft. And like everyone gets across until like this crewmate that's with them gets there at the last second, and this elevator is about to fall down, and the thing slips out beneath them. And so Richard Dreyfuss and the crew member is holding onto his legs, and they're the only two left in the shaft, and they're trying to pull them both up, but they just can't. And Richard Dreyfuss has to shake the guy off, and the guy falls to his death, which at first I was like, that was awesome because one, it was a cool death. So that was cool. But two, it was like, oh, there's a little bit of moral ambiguity here. Like, this guy just killed this other guy to save his own skin. And, like, given he really didn't have any other choice, but, like, there's got to be like some question up in the air of like if that was the right thing or like, you know, like there's going to be like some morale issues here. But it's never even like touched on after that.
Yeah.
And like there aren't any other moral problems in this movie. Like there's no other times in the movie where they're like, oh, we need to sacrifice one person to keep it going.
Aside from, I guess, Bradley Cooper getting kind of bummed when he couldn't revive the stowaway lady after she drowns. But yeah, there's nothing quite as brutal as Richard Dreyfuss kicking a guy to the bottom of an elevator shaft where he gets impaled on a bunch of rebar, where I really wonder why that rebar was there.
But, yeah, and the guy helped him up, and then he kicked him off to his death, and then he never thought about it again. Like, yeah. maybe that's realistic. I'm not trying to blame his character like for being a heartless asshole, but it's like, why would you even have that in the movie if you're not going to talk about it at all?
And I mean, also, like, probably you couldn't really do this because it would bring the tone of the movie down, but these people see so many mutilated corpses that appear basically cool with it, you know. Like everyone here, even the little kid, is never like, oh my god, I know what death is now and it's horrible, you know.
The one character who freaks out a little bit at first is Elena at the beginning, who like when she sees all the bodies starts like having a panic attack. Aside from that, no one seems to even really be fazed by it.
Which kind of makes me wonder, like, was Kurt Russell such a horrible firefighter that he's just used to this shit?
He's seen bodies, bro. Trust me.
Dude, the prime player won't let me screenshot it. This is ridiculous.
Also, you have got, what the fuck?
Yeah, I found it. It's just a screw. It's a flathead screw.
No, it's not. It's a hex bolt, dude.
It's not. I have the screenshot here.
Well, until you can share it, I'm not going to believe you.
Yeah. I'm almost positive Lawrence is right.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Anyways, another one. Let's see here. Oh, Connor. Just putting a kid in a movie like this is stupid. It robs tension because, like, you'd think, oh, my God, is the kid going to make it out? But you know it's a PG-13 Hollywood movie, so they're not going to kill a kid. So he's just, like, this annoyance that, like, keeps, like, dragging things out. And in particular, there's this one scene at the very end where he just kind of wanders off and somehow gets stuck behind a grate, and then they ask him, how'd you get behind the grate, and he says, I don't know. And like, you could not make it any more obvious that this is just screenwriter artifice.
It's contrived. Right.
Yeah, god, that felt so unnatural and so stupid.
Same thing, like, with Valentine. He was just like, no, I'll go after you. He's just like insisting. I know you're going to die, dude, like, as a result of this.
Poor guy. Also,
what's up with that one kid who lies about being on the swim team? Like, why did he do that?
Because he was a better swimmer than the girl, I thought? I'm not sure.
Did he lie about it?
Yeah.
He was not on the swim team.
Emmy Rossum's like, you weren't on the swim team. I guess he was just trying to make her feel better while also maybe killing her kid on accident.
Yeah, I guess I forgot about that, but he ended up being okay, so
yeah, so
kind of a weird line.
Yeah
it did really feel like there was a lot of stuff in this that just wasn't thought through, like who were the characters. We never really found out, like, did Josh Lucas end up hooking up with the mom at the end?
It seemed they have a prior relationship or not?
Were just flirting. Now I will say, I do think that she probably, I mean, you know, sex isn't transactional. You know, people are free to have sex or not as they want. But I do think they were flirting before he did all this hero shit and saved her kid. So I'm pretty sure they are going to bone.
Yeah.
No, unless he's like, I didn't know you had a kid until now. So
I'm not going in there, dude. I got a strict, my dick doesn't go where a kid's been policy.
I'm pretty sure he met the kid before he started flirting with her. So
yeah, there was that one weird thing with the Sony Vita. Remember?
No, oh, yeah. I don't actually.
Where the kid was playing with the Sony Vita, and then he bumps into Bradley Cooper and starts grabs some of his chips, and then Bradley Cooper's like, "I'll trade you the Sony Vita for the chips." Right. You know.
Yes.
It's like supposed to be a little bit of character work, although I thought that the kid was going to turn out to be a Dickensian pickpocket.
Yeah, I really thought he stole some, but if he did, they didn't show it.
Yeah. I wonder if there's cut scenes here. There's a lot of like stuff that would normally be fleshed out in a Hollywood movie that just isn't, you know?
It's so weird because usually I would be like, all right, cut the bullshit out. You know what? We need a shorter movie. This movie's like an hour and 37 minutes and like we're missing everything. Like,
I mean,
they kept so much. They could have cut some of the action scenes and put in some plot.
I mean, I wouldn't mind it being stripped down and not having not very, you know, just sketched in backstories and stuff. And that's generally a good thing for an action movie. But the fact that the action sequences also suck and the thing that I'm most interested in are those weird character background things is, you know, concerning.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because, again, the action scenes are basically the same.
And they kind of blend into each other. Like, I don't even really remember, like, I remember the elevator shaft, and then there's, like, the when they almost drown in the air duct. And then there's also the part where they almost drown in the, like, the weird ballast. Galley.
Ballast. Yes. Yeah. And then there's the thing where they almost drown in a different room. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, it all just kind of blends together. And it's like, it didn't need to have that. And, like, honestly, the funniest character was
Larry.
Lucky Larry. Yeah. Funniest character was Lucky Larry because he was just a chauvinist piece of shit. And that was funny. Yeah,
a huge cock for no reason.
Yeah, for no reason. Had no sense of urgency in any of his actions.
These people are trying to save his life and offering him helpful advice on how not to die. And he responds by pointing out that the guy's not the mayor anymore and his wife left him. Incredible stuff.
Real useful.
Just really Sigma energy.
And then he dies while delivering a long monologue about how he's lucky and will not die.
I mean, he's just like the dumbest fucking character, but he injects a little bit of fun into the movie, and everyone else is so goddamn serious. And, like, you know, it's a totally normal portrayal of what you would do in that scenario, but it's not very interesting. Yeah, I don't know.
Let's see. Yeah. Anyone got any sort of parting shots on this? Oh, I do have one thing, which is that I probably wouldn't like the explanation, but it is weird to me that the three things we know about Kurt Russell are that he's an ex-fireman, that he became mayor after saving a bunch of people from a fire, which in itself is very strange. He was the mayor of New York City because he was a good fireman. And then he is somehow insanely wealthy, and it is not explained how he became wealthy.
He's
the American dream. Like, that is literally what they thought. Like, this is like your average fantasy for an American citizen is to be all of these things.
Yeah. And then my other question is just, if this movie were about the Greek god Poseidon punishing the inhabitants of a cruise vessel because they took his name in vain and named their vessel after him without asking his permission, how would it be different?
I mean, I just assume that's what happened.
Poseidon would come out of the ocean and spear them all individually.
At the end, like, after they've escaped, he just, like, sends dolphins to eat them or something.
Helicopters get javelined out of the air.
They're like, oh, the dolphins are friendly. They'll help us get to shore. Then suddenly one of them just bites their head off.
Man, that would have been a sweet ending. And then and you would have been like, oh, it's a horror movie. Suddenly a lot of this makes sense.
Yeah. Anyways, anyone else got some parting shots?
It's not really a parting shot, but I was really curious and I couldn't find an answer. Would propellers on a boat lifted out of the water generate so much wind?
Oh, yeah. I was wondering about that, too. I couldn't figure it out.
It doesn't seem like they move fast enough. They're not they're not designed for air, right? They're geared for water as well.
I kind of wonder if they'd almost burn themselves out. That can sometimes happen with, like, when you remove the resistance from an end, like a system that's designed to have it, you know?
I hope it's smarter than that, but yeah, it's never designed to be run out of water.
Yeah,
definitely not for that length of time, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I really doubt that would happen, but, you know, it was a movie contrivance or whatever.
It was, it was fun to watch.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I thought it worked for the movie, but yeah, I doubt it. I really doubt it.
I doubt most of the things that this movie would realistically happen, aside from, I guess, if you flipped a boat over, everyone on it would probably die.
I did enjoy the idea that the captain was like, you know what, guys, I know we flipped over, but we're going to be fine in here. Don't move.
You know, I'm not sure on the timeline on this, but can you guys, do you remember when did the cracks start forming? Because I was wondering if the ballast shit that the other guys were doing to get out might have made that happen.
Let me check.
I don't think the timeline works out, but it's a funny image.
It is a funny image. Yeah, I was kind of wondering if they caused something. I think it was before the ballast part, though.
Aw.
But, you know, they were causing explosions and shit. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it probably wasn't going to hold anyways. And also, he's like, rescue is coming. It's like, what the fuck is rescue going to do?
Yeah, how are they going to get you guys
Jaws
out?
Of life, bro.
Okay, we just got to get through 10 decks and you guys are safe. They're like, okay, you guys chill here. We got to go get Godzilla and hope he's in a helpful mood. With the phone over.
Dang, that scene where the room everyone's in. Oh, okay, it's at 47 minutes.
Yeah, it's like halfway into the movie.
Yeah, that's probably. Also, I thought that the scene where he just like realizes they're all going to die and he doesn't want to panic anyone, so he just like hugs Fergie and then stoically accepts his end was kind of affecting.
Yeah, I liked it.
No, that was honestly a good scene, because it was like he didn't really do anything wrong. Like, it's not like they were all going to escape however the other guys went anyways.
No, he did do something wrong. He didn't
he didn't ask Fergie's permission before he touched her.
I'm pretty sure she touched him.
Yeah, with her music. Emotionally.
Yeah. That's his soul.
He didn't defeat the wave before it hit the boat, bro. That's kind of fucked
up. He wasn't even in the
he didn't properly put propitiate Dagon in the deep ones before setting sail on the briny deep. That's his mistake.
Whoever the first mate was that was in charge on the bridge was like a fucking psychic or something too, because he was like, something's wrong, I can feel it.
No, that was because the sound.
Yeah, he heard the script coordinator shouting wave scenes up next, and he's like, oh shit.
Yeah, I don't think there was any sound, because it was
there
like
was before, a sound.
It was before the wave was even
there. Was a sound. It was like a low-pitched rumble.
Yeah, there was a sound. Fergie singing.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Tugging the heartstrings
something's
of Americans
wrong.
Everywhere.
She's not doing Fergalicious.
Yeah, there's a low-pitched rumble. He was like, because that guy came in and he was like singing, he was like, shut up and listen. And there was like that low-pitched rumble.
Okay, cool.
Are you sure that wasn't just the engine?
Yeah.
Yes, God. Why would he...
Turn it up, motherfuckers.
Now, I have
we're going to burn this shit down tonight.
I have one last parting shot, and then we'll move on to something else. But so we watched the film Speed 2, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm right. And in that, when we were watching it, there was a scene where Sandra Bullock pulls out a chainsaw that is apparently included in the boat as a safety measure. And uses it to rescue some people. And we laughed a lot about the idea of a chainsaw on a boat. But I put it to you that there were several scenes in this movie where it would have been very helpful if they'd had a chainsaw.
The chainsaw would have been a good rescue.
Yeah, they could have chainsawed Lucky Larry. They could have chainsawed
Ross. That wouldn't have changed anything. He died horribly either way.
They could have chainsawed him and then thrown his pieces into the burning diesel fuel at the bottom.
As a sacrifice to Poseidon.
So anyways, this movie retroactively made Speed 2 a little less stupid.
That's true.
Oh, what if this movie had sharks? That would have been something.
What do you guys think? Speed 2 or this one? Which one would you take if you had to watch it again?
This one.
I'm going to, you know, that's complicated, because this one, I think the effects work aren't quite as good, but it has a much higher body count and it's much shorter. Speed 2, the stunts are a lot like more extravagant and there's more funny stuff, but it's like 2.5 hours long. So I could kind of go either way.
And Sandra Bullock was really annoying from what I remember.
But you have Willem Dafoe at his craziest.
You have Willem Dafoe, that's true.
Like putting leeches on himself and shit. It was
for the copper poisoning.
But then we figured out that he probably didn't actually have copper poisoning, because he claimed that it was electromagnetic radiation.
From the power. Yeah, no, I mean, it's a tough call. I feel like Speed 2 was more fun, but it was also longer. So, I don't know. I think I'd take speed too. At first I thought this, but I think I would take speed too.
But it's definitely like closer than you'd expect. Although this movie is less fun.
They're both bad. So
yeah, but also they're bad in a fun way. Although Speed 2 is more bad in a fun way.
Speed 2 had this amazing end scene. That was cool.
Where she
ended on a high note.
Yeah, where she retakes her driver's test with the guy she failed and then just fucks it up again.
Oh, I didn't mean that one. I meant the ship just going just and
plowing
going
into the island. That was pretty cool.
You know what?
I think I'd watch Speed 2 and skip like 30 minutes from the middle, and then it would be a pretty bearable movie.
What they need to do is somehow do Speed 2, but like do a special edition where they cut in a bunch of insanely gory shots of what happens when the boat hits the fucking land.
And keep intercutting it with a guy being like, it's working!
Yeah. Anyways, now does anyone else have a game? Because if not, I got one. I forgot to ask anyone to prepare.
No, you go ahead.
Okay, so we're going to just do a quick would you rather then.
All right.
So first off, I'll do like one or two of these. So what is a weird food you have tried and would you eat it again? Rahul, why don't you go first?
As a rule, I avoid weird foods, but I'd say the weirdest thing I've eaten was a cricket. Like a roasted cricket, roasted and flavored.
Did you like it?
No, I didn't. And I'm going to be honest, I don't really remember what it tasted like either. But I remember not thinking it was like good enough to bother. I guess it was like a fun thing to try. But now that I have, there's no reason for me ever to do it again.
You know, that surprises me a little because you've gone to see your extended family in India on occasion, and I would have thought that there'd be food there that would be unusual to a Westerner, at least.
Yeah, Indians mostly eat, like, monkey brains and crickets. So
that Temple of Doom scene is basically a documentary. People said it was raining.
We don't... Indians don't eat weird... I mean, I don't... It's basically Indian food, you know? Like... In my experience, there isn't any cricket, as far as I've seen. India's a large country.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I was just thinking, you know, there might be something that was prepared in an unusual way. I wasn't saying, like, they constantly eat, like, elephant turds or whatever.
They do eat elephant turds, though. They fry them up.
Hell yeah, man.
Hell yeah.
That's good eats.
Yeah, you know, I guess I'm not really prepared for this question because I don't eat anything weird. I eat everything that's like by the book, you know? That's why they call me By the Book Rahul, because I refuse to deviate from the best plan because I'm a winner. You know, I refuse to be a loser, pretty much. You know, eat weird stuff. Like, it's got to be stuff that like it just keeps me going, keeps me fueled so I can keep grinding, keep making money.
Rahul is very risk averse.
That's why he's invested so much in crypto over the years. The safest investment there is.
Money isn't real, man. Crypto is.
As is clearly advertised by how much you've lost.
Yeah. Anyways, Ronald, you got anything? Like something weird?
Yeah, I've eaten quite a few weird things. Like, I'm always up to eat strange stuff. But nothing is really standing out to me. I've had frog legs, which was definitely looked strange, but didn't taste that strange.
Like fried frog legs or steamed?
Yeah, fried frog legs.
I think I've had fried frog legs too. They're like super fatty.
Yeah. It's kind of like a chicken wing, but fattier.
Yeah,
and more rubbery. It was good. I thought it was pretty good. I wouldn't eat it regularly, probably, but it's not like it was gross. Sea urchin I've had, which isn't that
sea bizarre. Urchin, the spiky black balls. There's meat in there.
There's meat. Well, so what? Like this was like at a sushi place, and I don't know it's if so it's weird. Like. Yeah.
Where is there meat in there? I guess in the ball in the center.
I didn't see it prepared, so I don't really know. I just had the. And it's a very, like, briny taste. It's very strange. I don't know that I loved it, but I didn't hate it.
It looks like a fruit.
It does kind of look like a fruit, yeah.
looks disgusting.
I love that Rahul is like, it looks like a fruit. It's disgusting.
That's gross. Yeah, you love fruit, you idiot.
I only eat meat.
Fruit's like your favorite thing. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to send it. It looks disgusting to me. It looks like a fucking alien.
Okay, well, I didn't eat that part.
Alien part?
I mean, I don't know. I think it was mostly, I think it's like scooped out and put in and something. Fried. I don't really remember. It was a while ago. No, it wasn't fried.
Did you at least eat the spikes?
Yeah, I ate the spikes.
Oh, good.
I mean, that doesn't look great, but whatever.
Yeah. I'll bet Lawrence would eat the spikes.
Yeah, Lawrence would eat the spikes.
I'll bet he fucking would.
And then he'd be like, I don't understand why everyone doesn't eat the spikes.
Like, Lawrence, what are you doing? Where do you even find those?
Guys, I found some pokey things on the ground, and I ate them.
yeah.
It's fine.
No, I don't know. Yeah, I don't think either of the things that I mentioned are like that exotic. Like you can get them at restaurants.
Yeah.
I've had cricket too. I thought cricket was really gross. I'm up for eating bugs, but crickets in particular, they have a smell about them that I do not like. I used to have a lizard that I fed crickets, and I fucking hate the smell of crickets. So, and that's what it tasted like to me. So I don't like crickets. How about you, Lauren?
So, most of the gross things I've eaten were like culinary accidents that I choked down. I think I told you guys about the air fryer incident but I don't.
What was the air fryer incident?
Okay, so I have an air fryer that I put most of my vegetables in, right? You know, I like cook up vegetables every morning, and it's set up so it's got kind of, I put a steam bowl in the top, and then there's this like platform underneath that, and then underneath that there's this kind of trap area, which I don't clean as often as I should, and it kind of builds up a like amount of grease and such. So one morning I was like building my, you know, getting my bowl together, and I fucked up like pouring the stuff in. So I ended up with a pretty healthy like dose of the stuff that was in the like grease trap underneath, and I was out of all my vegetables. So I'm just like, fuck it, and ate it. And, you know what? It actually tasted amazing. disturbing.
It's fucking disgusting.
I know.
That's just like burnt. That's just like burnt oil and crumbs. Like,
yeah, it tasted really good though. Is the thing I haven't ever really been able to deal with. I don't think I'd eat it again because it felt very shameful to eat. But
oh my god,
it tasted really good though. That's the problem. I guess the other weird thing I've eaten is that there's a restaurant in Santa Fe called the Cowgirl Hall of Fame. And they have a novelty dessert there that's a dessert baked potato, where it's a thing that looks like a baked potato, but it's made entirely out of ice cream. And it's got like dusting on the outside, and they really do a very good job of making it look like a potato. It even has a pat of butter on top. And I mean, none of the ingredients in it are strange, but it's put together in a very odd way. And that one I would eat again. Well, I'm vegan, so I wouldn't. But, you know, if I wasn't vegan, I'd eat that shit again. It's tasty as hell.
Huh, yeah. Cool.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I would try that. It's a really weird dessert, but I would try it.
I mean, it's basically just ice cream, frankly.
Right. Well, yeah, the ingredients aren't weird, but why would you put it in the shape of a baked potato?
Yeah, and the other thing is it's not like a Western-themed restaurant, really. It's just kind of a generic restaurant, so I'm not really sure why baked potato came to mind.
Yeah, because like, if it was like a steakhouse, I guess I'd kind of get it.
Yeah. Anyways, let's do one more question and then get to recommendations and cautions. What do you guys think?
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so pick any band to play at your funeral. Ronald, go.
Any band?
Yeah.
I don't know. The first thing that came to mind for me is The Offspring. Really, really important band to me in middle school. I don't really listen to them that much anymore, but you know what? I like the vibe of like... early 2000s rock at my funeral. So
it'd be awesome if they like were putting you into the grave and they were playing Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Yeah, I mean, that just kind of fits. That seems kind of fitting capstone to my life.
It does. I would pick Enya.
What? What the fuck?
What's, I think that'd be
actual
badass.
Fuck?
What? Dude, she's very inventive. She defined an entire genre. I think that's only fitting, you know.
Did she? What genre did she define?
The Enya genre. I don't know what else, what that is, you know?
Like soaring choral music, I guess. Yeah.
Were you just assuming that she would like do that only time song? It's like, who can say your love? Is that what you imagine at your funeral?
Yeah, you know, yes.
That does sound like a funeral song. So,
you know, so I was in boy choir in high school, middle school, 1 year of high school. And one of the songs we did was actually an Enya song, right? Okay. And so we had the like little book that the music came in, and the little books have like advertising copy on them to try to convince you to buy the little book, right?
Okay.
And on that one, they had a sticker on the front that was just like the song from the Delta Airlines commercial.
Oh, really?
And you know what? It apparently worked because we bought the music and sang it.
Would you say that song slapped, Lawrence?
Song from the Delta Airlines commercial. The Delta Airlines commercial song is, from what I remember, the.
Well, we didn't sing that one. We
don't remember it all. It is amazing. No lyrics. That you remember that, dude. That's crazy.
It's very hard to Google because it keeps thinking I might mean Kenya Airlines commercial. Oh, it's a song called Ade Amus. Yeah. And it's actually written in a... you know what? This is a problem for me because it does not appear that Enya was the one who sang this song.
Abort the joke! Abort! Pull out!
Oh, God. Who was it? Oh, well. Who sang it?
Miriam Stockley, apparently.
Oh, that's basically Enya.
Oh, yeah, Miriam. Oh, and Miriam.
Miri, as I call her.
Yeah, Raul does call her that.
Yep. I'm like, yo, Miri.
I mean, Enya did sing it, so I guess I might be okay. I don't know. Yeah, I'll put it in the Discord so you guys can listen later.
Yeah, all put right. it in the show notes so that the listener can listen to it.
So I assume that'd be your song?
No. I mean, no, actually, I'm wrong.
An emotional connection to it.
Yeah.
No, it turns out that this guy just mislabeled this YouTube video. Fuck.
Is this from your account? Let me check.
Apparently, there's just a commonly held misconception that Enya sang to Ade Amus.
It's fucking. Wait, oh,
is that what the comments are saying? They're saying, like, this isn't Enya, you idiot.
Yeah. Well, they're also saying this song is actually a timeless masterpiece.
This does sound like Enya, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Anyways, ambiguous whether Enya sang the song Ade Amus. But obviously, the guy who's singing at my funeral is Andrew WK. He's going to sing Party, 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 Party Till You Puke. The Party Never Dies. And then As They're Blowing Me Into the Ground, Ready to Die, which is an excellent song of his that I think is about hunting people for sport. Nice. Oh, and then I Get Wet at the After Party to encourage people to fuck.
Right.
And, you know, get wet.
After party.
Yeah, the wake.
For a funeral? Oh, okay.
Do you want Rahul to piss on you?
I'll yeah, do
sure.
it.
Sure. I mean, I'm dead. I don't give a shit.
I mean, that's part of my ritual for dragging you to hell.
But if you're going to drag me back from hell, too, it's just part of
your... I don't remember
if he's dragging you.
Which way am I going, back. Dude?
Yeah. He's just dragging you all over.
Yeah.
All right.
The devil's just complaining because Rahul is like dramatically misusing the portal he gave him. He's like, you're supposed to use this for your serial murder.
I'm
stopping dragging people here. Just do blood sacrifices like a normal person. What the fuck? That's my devil voice. And then you drag them back a few days later. I don't even get to torture them properly. This is a waste of everyone's time.
This devil guy seems pretty reasonable.
Yeah. Anyways, let's do some recommendations and cautions, I guess.
All right.
So, Ronald?
Yeah. So I had COVID this past week. And so I watched like a million shows and movies. There's a lot of stuff I could recommend or caution against. And I probably will be writing this for a while on this show. I'm going to do this week, I'm going to do a a caution and a recommendation, both from Disney Plus. So I'll start off with the recommendation. It's Andor, a Star Wars show.
It's Andor, now, my favorite logic gate that doesn't exist.
Yeah, well, it does exist. It's just the true gate. Well, actually, wait. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
What would Andor be? Or so, no, it'd be something. If either, oh, that'd just be or.
Any.
This is a hilarious like joke about something we vaguely remember from school.
It would just be or. Because I think that already includes and. Anyways, whatever. You could do and XOR.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want, baby. Just go buy some gates. Yeah. Also, I think they're all built with XOR because it's faster now.
Yeah, whatever. So, okay. Andor, which is a Star Wars show. Literally would not have watched this except that it was recommended to me by somebody else. I haven't really been a fan of any of the Star Wars shows so far. I thought they've all been kind of either bad or not kind of eh. The Mandalorian's okay, but it's not really, you know, it's not what I wouldn't caution against it, but it's not my favorite. And I thought Book of Boba Fett, I think I cautioned against it on this show. I thought it was bad. I didn't watch Obi-Wan because I wasn't interested. So I wasn't really that interested in Andor. Somebody recommended it to me. I gave it a shot. It was well worth it. It's probably the best show I've seen on Disney Plus. Just a really, really good show. Even if you don't watch Star Wars, I don't think that actually really matters that much for this show. I think it's easily worth watching. So definitely check out Andor. After watching Andor, I was very excited and watched another Disney Plus show called Willow. That one was not good. I would caution against it. I enjoyed the old movie, but a long time ago. But yeah, I wouldn't recommend the new show. Wasn't good. I love Warwick Davis, but sorry, Warwick. Can't carry this one. That's it.
Okay, I'm going to go next. So for my recommendation, this is a movie on Shudder called A Wounded Fawn. It is very strange. First off, it came out in 2022 and was directed by, come on, don't fail me now, computer, directed by Travis Stevens, who, well, I don't know what else he's done, but I really enjoyed this. It's about a man with a like kind of psychopathic like need to kill women. Who apparently kind of runs afoul of the Furies of Greek myth. And it's very trippy, especially like the second half of the movie, he takes a head wound and it is very debatable what anything is happening. But it's a very like good kind of throwback to like 70s surrealist horror while still being grounded in just enough reality that it doesn't like annoy me the way that some of that stuff can, where you're like just not sure what at all is happening. Pretty fun time. Not exactly scary, I would say, but very like engaging and full of a lot of really weird imagery. And then for my caution, I was on a plane recently because I was flying back from Romania. So I watched a lot of like movies I thought would be good on a plane, you know, where like it doesn't really matter very much. You know, you're not watching stuff you think is going to be like a classic. So I just put on a whim, put on that Disney movie Jungle Cruise. I'm not going to look up the director or year, because I don't give a shit, but it's, you know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson as a like disreputable riverboat guide in the jungles of the Amazon, and Emily Mortimer, whoever, the one who's married to Office Jim, and as like a woman explorer who's like girl bossing around the Amazon and trying to find a lost city. It's trying so fucking hard to be Pirates of the Caribbean, but one, I mean, I don't like Johnny Depp, but like his performance in like the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie is memorably weird and like really like makes that movie a lot more watchable than it should be. And The Rock just can't do that. He's giving a pretty straight performance. And second, the other great thing about the Pirates movies, I mean, for all their faults, they put a lot of money into that first one, which yielded a lot of really incredible like practical set pieces. And for this movie, they just threw in a bunch of CGI. So, like, even the big action set pieces basically all suck. So, it's not worth your time. I don't know if you were really thinking I'm going to go watch a failed Disney blockbuster from like 2 years ago, but if you were, I wouldn't. Anyways.
You know, watching The Rock try, that sounds kind of interesting.
He's not, I mean,
like,
he's...
I know he can't do it, but that makes me want to just see a clip, you know?
The like thing, he's not like trying to give a Johnny Depp performance. If he, him trying to give a Johnny Depp performance would be interesting. But here he's just doing his standard, like, slightly wisecrappy, cracky, decent dude. If you want to see a weird Rock performance, go watch Southland Tales. It's very strange because he's like actually trying to act and giving this kind of meek and mild thing, which is very strange from a person with his build, you know?
Yeah, unless it's a joke. Yeah.
No, it's not a joke. Well, it might be a joke, but if so, it's that movie is so deranged that it's hard to tell what's a joke versus what's just the guy who made it was a weirdo.
Very strange fucking movie.
Yeah. Anyways, that's it for me. Rahul?
I hope I didn't recommend this before, but I like the movie Bullet Train a lot because I'm a basic bitch, and it was there on Netflix. Hilarious. Enjoyed it. Recommend it. And I have no cautions that I remember.
Okay. Powerful. Okay. And finally, do you have a plug for us, Rahul?
I do.
Hell yeah. Right, I love that enthusiasm.
I thought this was sweet. All right. I'm gonna send it to you in the in our group text. Check it out. This is like if Ronald was like a professional boxer and like 45.
Okay, great.
Yes, and check out
not that different.
No, yeah. This is basically Ronald. Like, if this is Ronald's doppelganger boxer,
boxelganger,
and the way this guy punches is just incredible.
God damn it! It's you sent it to us on text yet again.
Yeah,
you got to start putting shit in the Discord, dude.
But I don't want to do Discord on my phone. It's just so annoying. This is like already there. Why are you making me do so much work? Like, you know, I already work like so hard.
I like that this guy just appears to be kind of he doesn't look that much like Ronald, but what he really does look like is John Lithgow.
He smiles like Ronald, like a open, generous smile. You know,
this is Ronald. Incredible because it's like if a young John Lithgow just walked into a room and beat the shit out of a punching bag.
It's crazy. Like, he's punching so hard. I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, okay, I don't actually think he's punching that hard watching it, but the craziest part to me is he's punching that hard without gloves on.
Yeah,
because the hand conditioning fucking hurt.
And also while just seeming like really happy, like a lot of like guys when they're working out or punching, they'll put on an angry face, but he really just seems happy.
He does just casually pound it.
Title of your sex tape.
Casual pounding. It's fucking
the
sweet.
Other question I have is, what the fuck, Rahul? This appears to be in Russian and have no English text associated with it. So I'm very curious what Rahul searched to find this.
Yeah, all the comments are in Russian.
He's just like genial punching, but he translated it into Russian.
I don't know how I came across.
He's on a different part. He's on a different part of the internet than the rest of us. Just like accept it and move on.
He's searching up bodybuilding photos and YouTube. Really, the algorithm just breaks in a very special way.
Yeah. It's all like Russians feeding bears and bodybuilders and
boxers casually punching. I guess.
Dude, can you imagine being like, if you could just walk, like, just knowing that you could punch that hard?
I mean, the other thing is,
like,
I don't.
Confidence it would give you, like, no one could fuck with you.
We don't really have any evidence that he's a boxer.
He's a boxer.
Okay. But that's, like, outside context.
Well, he's walking into a fucking boxing gym, punching a boxing bag. You think you can infer that he's a boxer?
I mean, I punched a boxing bag, but I'm not a boxer.
Yeah, how did that look?
Probably, I mean, my form, not strong.
Like, if I saw you punching a boxing bag, I'm, you know, like...
You know, I've just thought of one thing I'd like us to do before we close.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Raul, you've already kind of given us an insight into this, but Ronald and I, let's just pop open YouTube on our phones and tell each other what the top video like that it's trying to make us watch.
I don't want to tell you guys what it's trying to tell me to watch.
I mean, mine is just a a video from an account called Caricatures Productions. It's just a compilation of the Waukesha attacker's defense. Daryl Brooks famously tried to defend himself after murdering six people with his SUV and murdering probably like 80 other people. And YouTube is just like, watch this video of him dressed up as a clown.
Wow.
Yeah. What's yours? I mean, he's not actually, but they've put a bunch of shit on him. What's yours, Ronald? Come on.
I honestly don't know why this is recommended to me, but it's Arena Decathlon Alchemy, which seems to be a Magic the Gathering tutorial video. That's an hour and a half long. Dude, I don't think I've ever watched a Magic the Gathering video.
Sure you haven't. Ronald, please explain.
I wouldn't even be ashamed to have watched the Magic the Gathering video. I just don't really play Magic the Gathering.
Sounds like that's since all I was you watch school. Based on yeah, your right. YouTube history.
My second one is a Howell Dotty mix. What's yours?
What the fuck? What is?
He's a like comedy songwriter out of Louisville. His performer name is Howell Dotty. His real name is Alex Smith.
So he's a serial killer.
No, what? No, he makes fun songs about like how looking good is stupid or how you shouldn't eat.
Now I get it. Okay.
Yeah. What's yours, Ronald? One more round, and then we'll log off.
The second one is a video by the YouTuber of the name of Jorts, and it's called How Fast Can You Touch Grass in Every Mario Game?
What?
I don't know. I assume it's a video of him going through every Mario game and how fast you can touch grass. But
I mean, isn't the quickest way to touch grass just to put the game down and go outside?
Well, in the game, I'm assuming.
Okay.
But yes, you're right.
You know, I feel like I'm going to think on this, but I think this has been amusing to me, so I might try to come up with some more, like, what weird shit the algorithm recommends to us based games.
Okay, I like that.
So anyways, I need you guys to go get accounts at adulttime.com so we can see what pornos it recommends to you after a week.
I would take that to my grave, sorry. Yeah, fair
enough. Anyways, it's all Magic the Gathering theme.
Yeah. I don't know how this got here.
What the hell, dude? The Google's taking my dinner or something.
He writes into them so much that they start producing custom videos of porn stars playing Magic the Gathering.
Wow. Let me show you my drafting strategy. Lotus.
And I keep writing comments like, this strategy makes no sense. It doesn't work for me. I can't get hard unless they're using a real strategy.
He clearly doesn't have trample right now, so...
Put your clothes back on. Try to play Strip Magic the Gathering, but they keep not managing their energy right, so nothing happens.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. Anyways, from all of us at Bad Time Radio, don't worship Satan. It's bad for you.
If you'd like to recommend an episode of Old Time Radio for us to listen to, send us a question for the mailbag, or a pedantic correction, you can reach us at radiobadtime@gmail.com. Our theme music is Finger in the Bottle by We Ashore Dedicated off their album No Ski Here Okie Sap. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, I was gonna gather